And you're back with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast. And in the studio, we have the composer of that lovely music. G'day, how are you, Alan Griffiths?
Oh, I'm so happy to be here again, Annie. It's a real pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, and you've got a big event coming up, haven't you?
Well, hopefully.
Well, are you one of those people who don't want to tempt fate?
No.
Especially with things that are going on. Not only are you a composer, but you're a peace activist. And that this particular piece of music, the Such a Fine Sunny Day, is actually fuses the two things, doesn't it?
It does. I was very worried during the second lockdown. I knew we were going to have a war with Russia, categorically, 100%, I knew it. And I didn't know what to do as an artist. How do you react to this? And I had heard about White Rose. They were a group of student pacifists in Munich during the 1940s under Hitler's dictatorship. And at great personal risk, they published 6 anonymous public letters. And I looked up those letters and I read them, and it just came to me. It was just so obvious that what they're writing about is just as relevant as today. And I was just thinking to myself, these are people who risked everything to plead with their fellow Germans to rise up against the Nazi machine before Hitler dragged them down to hell. And I was thinking to myself, why aren't people now, with democracy, with relative freedoms now, doing everything they can to stop nuclear war from happening? In August last year, the Secretary General of the United Nations stated, one miscalculation away from nuclear annihilation. And you'd think that if people were really aware of that, they'll be shouting from the rooftops to do everything possible. There are Australians who have done amazing things. There's ICAN, the International Committee Against Nuclear Weapons. This is a grassroots group started in Melbourne. They won the 2017 Nobel Peace Prize for spearheading the international campaign to outlaw nuclear weapons. They're now outlawed, which is remarkable. So I was just thinking to myself, well, I hate talking up myself.
Well, that's why you're here.
Yeah.
Yes. You've got to do it.
Yes.
It's radio,
yes.
Man.
Yeah. Yes. So I wrote this great piece of music. It's a song cycle which talks about, reflects on what Sophie was thinking at the time when she and her brother and close friend Christopher Probst were caught by the Nazis. The Gestapo arrested them and they went and endured a horrible Nazi show trial. So it goes through her internal monologue of what was happening, and it juxtaposed that against the amazing film Sophie Scholl, The Final Hours. I recommend everybody watch that. And it brings to question, what would Sophie say now? And so I managed to get the song cycle to one of the world's greatest living opera singers. I knew he was in Christchurch. He couldn't fly back to New York, right? So I managed to get it to him, and I asked him, would he like to record it? And he said he'd love to. And I said, well, would you like to do the world premiere? He said, even better. If you can arrange it for this time in Christchurch for September last year, I will do it. So I booked the Piano Centre for Music and Arts there. It's acoustically treated concert hall, one of the best in the world. And I flew my recording producer from Sydney and the pianist Nicholas Young, who should be a household name. He's an extraordinary virtuoso, won a string of international awards. I flew him from Melbourne. And I had 5 musicians altogether. None of them got sick for the concert. And we managed to get one of the world's largest audio tech companies to sponsor it. So they flew over the latest equipment from Switzerland, and we had arguably the best recording equipment to New Zealand for the recording. So Paul recorded it, and then we put the concert on a couple of days later, and it was very well attended. We got a standing ovation at the end. I just felt vindicated that New Zealand really was the right country to do this with their anti-nuclear stance. So now I'm bringing this concert to Melbourne in a couple of weeks at St. Paul's Cathedral, a beautiful acoustic. Hopefully the weather will be warmer now. And Paul is going to be there to sing the Australian premiere. Paul will be accompanied
by... That's
Paul Whelan, yes. Yeah, he's from New York. And this is his only concert in Australia. And this is the only time you'll get to hear him. Paul will be accompanied by a dramatic piano duet played by Nicholas Young and Taiwan concert pianist Migo Chen. And then there are special guests, multi-award winners cellist Gemma Neal and violinist Zoe Friesberg, going to play some of my well-received chamber music. So it's a top-class lineup, And you can get tickets on the website suchafinesunnyday.com. I'm hoping this will inspire people to talk about the issue of nuclear weapons more. It hasn't gone away. Things are terrible now.
In fact, it's creeping up like anxiety at this moment.
It is. It hasn't gone away. And we are at this cusp of the Albanese government has promised to sign on to the treaty to ban nuclear weapons. He has promised to do it, but he hasn't given us the date. So now, with things so critical in the Middle East, you would think people would be ringing him up and just giving the ALP hell to bloody well sign this agreement. You've promised to. But they're under a lot of pressure from the US. They've entered into this foolish agreement, the AUKUS agreement, with these nuclear submarines, which are white elephants. Like Paul Keating came out and gave us a wonderful expose how terrible it is. We don't need those weapons. We've already got a central apparatus of the US military and industrial complex. It's the spy base in Pine Gap. That is central to the US nuclear missile defense system. We don't need anything else. Unfortunately, the Pine Gap is a nuclear target. It's been verified that during the height of the Cold War, the Soviets were very worried about it because back then it had the capacity to jam their early warning systems of missiles coming in. Now things are a lot more sophisticated with the nuclear weaponry. They're still testing bombs every fortnight or so. The Hiroshima was only the equivalent of 14,000 tons of TNT. Hiroshima is the size of Christchurch. Now, the bombs they have now are of the one megaton with a blast radius of 65 kilometres. And we should be very worried about the people in Alice Springs. They live less than 15 kilometres away. And since we're so close to a nuclear war, it's all been acknowledged, the second hand of the nuclear doomsday clock is 90 seconds to midnight, the closest it has ever been. Surely, if we...
How do you think it relates to, just as a matter of interest, Alan, how do you think it relates to what's going on at the moment in Gaza?
Well, it directly relates to that because there are lots of regional powers which are very upset about what's going on. Before the Hamas attack, I like to call him Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, he got up in front of the UN and showed the map of Israel. And there was no Gaza on that map. There was no West Bank. And he showed this pipeline going from Saudi Arabia all the way through where Gaza is situated and then feeding Europe as the alternative to the beltway China's building from the largest communications transport from the edge of Russia all the way through China through to Europe. It's seen as the option. And I think that's the real reason.
It's like real estate realignment.
Yes, well, it's not only that. Israel has stolen Palestine's gas fields off the coast of Gaza. They're massive. And Palestinians have a right to exploit their natural resources. I don't like fossil fuels, but for Christ's sake, if a country so so demeaned and so abused by the West has any right to exploit the resources, it's the Palestinian people. Israel has no right to those resources. So Sophie Scholl back.
That's a very interesting analysis, though, what you just said. I mean, this is not something that is front and centre of any discussion.
No.
Of why the Western powers are so...
It's baffling. Well, NATO, their charter, NATO was started up to keep Russia, the USSR, out of Europe. Their charter was that. After the Soviet Union collapsed and Russia came about, the Berlin Wall came down, they changed their charter to safeguard the world's energy lines. That's why NATO was involved in Afghanistan. You look up the European map, Afghanistan's not there. So they were involved in Afghanistan. Look at the disaster they left there. NATO is involved in Ukraine. And I have always opposed arming Ukraine because we're so close to nuclear war. We need peaceful negotiations there. Ukraine's going to be destroyed now. It's an ultimate tragedy. On average, Ukrainian children are dying a day. These are people which the trauma will become intergenerational. And this needn't have happened. And now with Russia, they have a naval base in Syria, which is on top of Israel. America has voted to maintain their illegal occupation of northern Syria and keep on stealing Syria's oil. This conflagration in Gaza could easily explode out. People are talking about Turkey going for Israel. There's Iran. Israel has been bending over backwards to lobby and pressure, cajole America into a war with Iran because Israel won't be able to do it. And Iran has been funding the Hezbollah. So the Hezbollah are no walkover. Israel tried to beat them down by invading Lebanon some years ago. And Lebanon, the Hezbollah kicked them out. They well and truly humiliated Israel. And now the Hezbollah are firing missiles into Israel over what's happening in Gaza. It's a monumental disaster for everyone, and it won't guarantee Israel any security, further inflaming the hatred. Netanyahu, before the Hamas attack, he was getting Muslim countries on board, and they were actually ditching Palestine. They had enough of it, and they were going to form an economic cooperation. Saudi Arabia and Israel are getting very close. Now, after this attack, the horrific Hamas attack, I can't believe they did it. And this overreach and overreaction from Israel we're seeing a uniting of the Sunni and the Shiite possibly coming together in their hatred of what Israel's doing. It's likely that America will have a war against all these other Arab countries.
It's just, this is an unwinnable war.
It is.
This is a terrible, terrible, terrible thing that's going on at the moment.
Yeah. Well, Sophie, back in her time in the 1940s, in one of their public letters, they denounced Hitler for the crimes against the Jews and against the Russians, which is an astonishing thing to do under the terrible dictatorship of Hitler. And here we are in a democracy. And up until this point, before this war, Gaza was being bombed on a regular basis, and it didn't even reach the media. They were the Untermenschen of our time. And the other Untermenschen of our time, which continues, is the people caught in the crossfire in Ukraine. The largest minority of Ukrainians are Russian ethnic-speaking Ukrainians. And they've suffered a terrible time since the overthrow of their democratically elected government in 2014. And no one talks about it. The first time Donetsk public hospital was bombed, it was during the Civil War, which President Petro Poroshenko stated in a documentary shot by Oliver Stone. You can see it for free on YouTube, called Ukraine on Fire. He said, "The IMF will not fund a country at war with itself. That's why we have started an anti-terrorist operation." So it makes it look legit, the civil war they had against this section of Ukraine, which was rising up against them. And they bombed the public hospital. Where was the international outcry? The outcry only happened when Russia did, when Russia invaded.
Goodness, it's like creating a movie script so that they can get particular outcomes. That's what they're doing. I mean, they call it strategy, but it's a movie script.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because the Western media only has access to this war of attrition, which is continuing. It's a stalemate.
I know. Now that what's going on in Palestine is so horrific.
Yes.
People have mentioned, apparently everything's okay in the Ukraine.
Yes. Well, it's been a fantastic PR campaign managing the Western media, keeping it under control.
Totally useless.
Well, there's one journalist from CBS who tried...
Well, everyone's been killed. Yes. Have you seen how many journalists have been killed?
Yes. Yeah, an astronomical amount. Yeah. In Ukraine, the CBS tried to trace where American weaponry was going. They only found 30% reached the front line.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That begs the question, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, criminal gangs are trying to get hold of Stinger missiles. And all this weaponry, which is just,
And we're on the verge of warlordism. We'll have to finish here, but on that happy note.
Yes, the song cycle is uplifting. There's a lot of love. There's a lot of nurturing. There's. I hope you like that music. There's lots more of it. You can get it tickets at suchafinesunnyday.com. Thanks very much for listening. Thanks for having me, Annie.